But that upon good ground, these are they who, with a right and good heart, having heard the word, hold it fast and bear fruit in patience. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There's a catechetical series that is sweeping the nation and going into many parishes. It's called Formed. It's actually out of my home archdiocese of Denver. I know some of the people who made it, not everybody. And it's being promoted, not a bad price. It's about $100 a month per parish, about $100 a month per parish. And it's a good program, actually. But why didn't anyone think of this before? Why didn't lay people start evangelizing parishes in 2,000 years? Why is that something new that is kind of sweeping the nation? Again, it's a good program, but I want to kind of look at the lacunae, the holes of our current church crisis that really invited lay people doing essentially one of the three moona of priests. Nowadays, people often say, well, priests, your job is the sacraments. Well, that's one of three jobs. It's actually three gifts of the priesthood, three moona of the priesthood. Teach, sanctify, and govern. Notice teach is one of those. Why are lay people now doing a priest's job? Again, they're doing a good job, but I want to look at what actually led to that and what I think is going to actually restore the church. So why is this new? Well, for one, modern media is new. That's obvious. But organizations like Formed had to take the place of priests teaching parents and parents teaching children. I personally think it's good that programs like Formed exist, but it surely must be a concessionary plan to traditional Catholicism, considering how God set up the parish and religious life to work for 2,000 years. Okay, how did God set up the parish and religious life and family life to work for the past 2,000 years? Like all of creation, it was a hierarchy. I really think the main difference between traditional Catholicism and what's kind of, maybe not in a nice term put, neoconservative Catholicism is hierarchy. The sense that all of creation is set up as a hierarchy. And let's start with the angels. The angels is the best example of this. That God set up the angels in a hierarchy so that there's actually a cascading down of information from one choir of the angels to the next choir of angels. A cascading down of wisdom and knowledge. Now that doesn't mean that, say, a middle angel doesn't have an individual and personalized relationship with God in the full beatific vision. Of course every angel does. You're going to see how this gets back to the parish life and family life. This makes no sense now. But just follow me for a second. That the saints like St. Thomas Aquinas teach that the angels have a cascading down the choirs, because there's actually a hierarchy of glory and power that each of the angels have, with the seraphim at the top and then the cherubim, and actually the last two is the archangels and the angels. That they actually convey things about God to the next choir down. So, for example, the seraphim tell the cherubim certain things about God's glory. Doesn't mean the cherubim don't have the full beatific vision, but certain things are communicated down the ranks of the hierarchy. The cherubim tell the thrones things. The thrones tell the dominations things. And by tell, I don't mean verbally. All this is through this laser-sharp intuition that is conduited through a language we would never understand, like we heard in the gospel, words that man cannot understand. Just simply by thinking it, one angel can transmit wisdom or knowledge to the next angel. The dominations transmit this to the virtues to the powers to the principalities to the angels to the archangels. And this is why it's so important you have a good relationship with your guardian angel, because your guardian angel teaches you some of these things. So notice there's a hierarchy there of the angels, that information is transferred down a cascade. It's almost like Reagan's trickle-down economics, but that doesn't mean that those at the lower angels are missing any grace. Okay, so this was also traditionally the view for humans. Catechesis was to be used in this way, that the bishop formed his priests, and his priests formed men, and men formed their wives and children. I know it's not politically correct to say men form their wives and children, and I don't mean to put women and children on the same level, but women were called to form their children in the faith, and it was the man who was called to be the spiritual leader of the whole family. Let me give you a quick example from history why this was the case. Look at two great priestly saints, St. John Bosco, whose feast day was this week, and St. Philip Neri, both super joyful priests. They didn't spend a lot of time with women. They spent their time forming boys and men. This wasn't sexist. This wasn't sexist. It was just, well, I'll give you three reasons. One is, you don't really want to see a saintly priest spend time with only women. We're human too, and that's to say, if it's not dangerous, it at least looks weird. Two, priests spending time with men respects the structure of the family, much like the transmission of information of the angels. Bishop to priest, priest to man, man to woman, women to children. Doesn't mean that that's the order of holiness. Be very clear about that. Many priests are more holy than their bishops. Many wives are holier than their husbands. Many children are holier than their parents. But the order of catechesis was still a cascade down the hierarchy. And number three, my greatest proof of this is Jesus to the apostles. Jesus taught the apostles for them to form bishops and for those bishops, like tomorrow's feast day, or 2 days from now, Titus, to form priests. And those priests formed men. And those men brought the faith home to their families. Now, of course, through history, RCIA should include men and women, right? I'm not excluding women and children from all this. But if you look at how the angels work, if you look at the hierarchy of how this is set up, it's not a statement of who's at the highest level of faith, hope, and charity, but just because creation has been set up by God himself, not some pope in the 12th century or a pope in the 16th century. Creation is set up by God himself as a hierarchy. Now, of course, there's great graces directly from God to anyone in any of those things, especially in odd times in church history. For example, a single mom can be a great catechizer of her children. I'm not going to doubt that. A priest can be a great pastor, even if he has a lousy bishop who hates him. And thanks be to God, the bishop here likes him. He had a good report for me last week, so that's not personally speaking. But a priest can be a great priest, even if he's got a lousy bishop. Holy children in the early church popped out of pagan families who even rejected them after they saw baptism. Sometimes they even killed them. So, in a strange time of church history like the past 50 years, and we have to admit, even if you like it, it's unlike any other 2,000 years of history, organizations like Formed are probably necessary because the entire order of the apostolic teaching has been trashed the past 50 years. But it wasn't always like that. And because 2 days ago was the feast of Our Lady of Good Success, I want to remind you of Mary's promise that we would see the total restoration of the church sometime after the 20th century. And that's not only the sacraments, but trustable priests and trustable bishops and men leading their families again. This is how God set it up. Not only because most of the invisible creation is a hierarchy like the angels, but because God has made even earth a transmission of knowledge through the hierarchy of apostles to bishops to priests to married men and those married men to their families. I'm reminded of actually one of the early colonialists from Spain who ended up in Latin America in the 16th century. And you know what he said to the Spanish priests? He said, "I don't want any of these lousy diocesan priests. I only want the most excellent." So he only took Franciscans who were ready to live the life of Christ in poverty and chastity and obedience. He thought the diocesan priests would scandalize the new Indian converts too much, so he demanded only the holiest Franciscans get on these boats from Spain to Latin America. Why? Because he knew they would be the representation of Christ. He knew the seeds planted by these Franciscans would be the seed that is established for many centuries to come in Latin America. And these seeds that would be spread had to be men who were willing to die for the faith, just like we heard about St. Paul in the first reading today from 2 Corinthians. Paul says, "From the Jews I received 40 lashes, less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I passed a day and a night in the sea. I was continually on journeys with danger from floods, with danger from robbers, and danger from my own people and from the Gentiles, with danger in the city, in the desert, and on the sea, and danger from false brothers, with labor and hardship, with many sleepless nights, and hunger and thirst, and frequent fastings, and cold and nakedness, and leaving other sufferings unmentioned. There is that daily tension pressing down on me, my anxiety for all the churches." These were the sowers of the seeds, and priests had to be this in the future. What does this have to do with today's readings, or rather today's gospel? Well, Jesus says today in Luke chapter 8, quote, "The sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside and was trodden underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. And other seed fell upon the rock, And as soon as it had sprung up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And other seed fell upon thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other seed fell upon good ground and sprang up and yielded fruit 100-fold. Close quote. Who would the sower be? Traditionally, it would be a priest or a bishop. Okay, a couple quick caveats. Yes, I know that everyone in the church the past 50 years says that every layperson needs to get to the streets to evangelize. Yes, I know that everyone in the church the past 50 years always says that Latin Mass folks like y'all need to make the truth of Catholicism more accessible and attractive to non-believers than we usually do. And I agree with both. But let's look at how Catholicism worked for 2,000 years, and I really have to admit it did pretty well. First, it was the bishop and missionary priests who sowed the first seeds in any community. We think of us Irish as Catholic forever. Well, 1,500 years is a long time, but we were all pagans doing horrible things when St. Patrick showed up. It's very hard for Irish like me to admit he was actually an Englishman. But he showed up when we were pagans. We were all doing horrible things before Christ showed up through his apostles. So what was up to families then? Here's the part to listen up in if you really want to get today's parable. The tilling of the soil. That's your job. The tilling of the soil is your job. Because I can sit up here and preach all day, but if you have rotten soil in your families, it won't make any difference. It doesn't matter if you go to Latin Mass. It doesn't matter if you go to anywhere. If there's rotten soil, any sermon you hear, whether it's out of this world beautiful or totally full of heresy, won't make any difference. That's your job. And I'm at the point I don't care too much if you're a super evangelist at work. Hope you can defend the faith well, and I know it'd be even sinful to deny the faith by a sin of omission when you're called to speak up at work. But parents, your main job is to bring the seed of the Word of God to your family and to make sure the soil at home is well tilled. Listen to the gospel today. Quote, "Those by the wayside are they who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, that they may not believe and be saved. Now those upon the rock are they who, when they have heard, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, but believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns, these are they who have heard, and as they go their way are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not ripen." Close quote. And obviously, these are the things that attack family life, especially now in the 21st century. The devil in the house. We talked about the internet being the best way to get the devil into the home. Seeds on rock cannot sprout. What is rock? Christ just explained it. That which has no roots. There's no family traditions. What are your family traditions that take place every year? What are your family traditions that take place every month? What are your family traditions that take place every week? You know, think of like 1920s Lower Manhattan, the Godfather, some wretched Italian family where, you know, one uncle's crazy and the other uncle is in the mafia and grandma makes a great plate of pasta every Sunday night. Even the worst Italian mafia families had some tradition that we all say the rosary before grandma's Italian food. Even if it means our uncles in the mafia, they're going to sit down and say the rosary. There's a tradition in all these different Catholic cultures, African Catholicism, Byzantine Catholicism, Irish Catholicism, Mexican Catholicism. Now people check the list of 60 minutes a week. I heard of a Nigerian priest, someone got mad at him for an hour and 5 minute mass. These priests come from Africa where mass is 3 hours long and people might walk 3 hours to get there. And he just simply said, "I know nowhere in canon law that it says mass must be 60 minutes. A beautiful response from this priest to an American who was mad. But it's not just mass. Not that you all have as much time to pray as a priest like us who's expected to do the divine office. But there's traditions that can really make roots for your family. Traditions are important. That's the beauty of Catholicism. It was everywhere, these traditions, because it was a take-home culture. Catholicism was a take-home culture. You need roots and more than YouTube if you want your kids to receive anything I ever say up here. What are the thorns you need to weed out of family life? Jesus tells us extremely clearly, the dangers are the cares and pleasures of life. Another way to translate cares is anxiety. So the anxieties or the pleasures of life. Now, not all pleasures and fun things need to be avoided, but our entertainment culture is leading no one, absolutely no one, to heaven. I mentioned a few months ago a layman I know with 7 or 8 kids who won't let his kids snack. Now, these kids, they eat 3 big healthy meals all day, so no one's going hungry, but he doesn't want to raise kids who think that they get every pleasure out of life that they want. People might think he's an extremist, but this comes right from the gospel today, that the pleasures of life choke out the word of God. If a kid thinks he can snack anytime he wants when he's 8 years old, guess what he's going to do when he's 16? He's going to think he gets any pleasure he wants. That's a pretty bad deal for salvation. So you have to think early of mortification. It doesn't mean you make your kids go hungry. And also, what about this cares of the world? Look, kids need to be driven to excellence, but not to the point that it leads to anxiety and suicide. Another word for cares, as I said, is anxiety. Are teens so obsessed with getting into an Ivy League school that success is choking their spiritual lives? We have to push against the world, the flesh, and the devil. Now, that's not to say we should be paranoid about your kids encountering the culture. People often criticize Latin Mass families for sheltering them so much that they fall on their face in the real world. And maybe there's an occasional truth to this, but the solution is strengthen them for the real world by protecting them now from the world, the flesh, and the devil, by teaching them spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is the key to combat the world, the flesh, and the devil, primarily in the daily rosary. Not in an obsessive or paranoid way, but in a manly way. Even a fun way on how conquering one's passions can be fun, like training for sports. Okay, if none of this makes sense, kids, just realize your parents wouldn't be doing you any favors if they were to keep implying, like most modern parents, that we can all be friends with the world and the flesh and the devil, and that we all end up in the same place. Contrary to the movie, dragons are not your friends. The tradition of medieval Catholicism was dragons are symbols of demons. Dragons are not your friends. Only you and Mary can triumph over them. We must recognize what evil is in the culture, or we will all end up in hell if we keep capitulating with the world on what is good and evil. When I was ordained with 2 friends of mine for the Archdiocese of Denver and other missionary priests, Archbishop Chaffee said to the whole Cathedral Basilica downtown, this is right after the ordination, but before the final blessing, he said to everyone there, you get the priest you deserve. And we all kind of did that RCA dog head tilt. We're like, was that a compliment or an insult? We weren't really sure. He said, you get the priest you deserve. And so yes, while a large part of the church crisis the past 50 years is caused by bad priests, I believe one reason God didn't send your generation saints like Don Bosco and Philip Neri is because it wouldn't have made a hill of beans of difference to have great farmers if the soil of family life is rotten. If you want good farmers tending to your family, then you must tend the soil well by protecting your family from rootlessness. That's to say, no traditions, from excessive school anxiety and distracting toys and blinding pleasures. That's your job, not mine. And then when I preach, your kids will actually hear what I have to say. And then we can both please God one day, hear God the Father say, as Jesus said in today's gospel, upon good ground, these are they who, with a right and good heart, having heard the word, hold it fast and bear fruit in patience. Upon good ground, these are they who, with a right and good heart, having heard the word, hold it fast and bear fruit in patience. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank you.